and thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Kitchen Hour podcast. I'm your host, Megan Francis. We've got a great show coming up today. I'll be interviewing Linda Hunt, who's the author of a new cookbook and the owner of a Sweetylicious Bakery Cafe. She actually owns two shops now, one in DeWitt, Michigan, and the other in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have ties to both places, so I'm really excited to talk to Linda, especially because she's so warm and likable, and her shop is just adorable. So it's really a treat to talk to her, and you're going to really enjoy our interview. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. This is coming out the day before Thanksgiving, so hopefully, or maybe you're listening to this while you're cooking or while you're getting ready to go to somebody else's house to eat their food. For me, this is the first year that I am both hosting and cooking for Thanksgiving. You know, I've often brought something with me to other people's houses, and a few years ago, my sister and I planned a big turkey dinner on Thanksgiving and then neglected to thaw the turkey well enough. We didn't take it out of the freezer until I think, 3 days before Thanksgiving. We just really underestimated how long it would take this particular turkey to thaw. So we ended up just having, I think, a spiral ham instead, and then we cooked the turkey later. But it was kind of a funny little lesson learned there. And before that, my husband and I have either gone to my mother-in-law's every year for the last 5 or 6 years. We go actually every other year. And on the year that we don't go there, we go to my sister's. And before that, his mom and dad and brother and sister used to come to our house, but I didn't cook. We used to get all of our food takeout from Boston Market. Now, I have to say, Boston Market actually does make pretty good turkey. But it's really funny to look back at that now, that I was so afraid to actually try to make a Thanksgiving dinner that I didn't even attempt it. We also were at a different point of our lives then. We had lots of little kids. We had 4 kids who were, like 8, 6, 4, and 2 or younger at the time. So lots of times we would have a baby and a toddler in the house at the same time. And it was kind of a chaotic period of my life where I did a lot of out-of-the-box cooking and just really wasn't very confident and comfortable in the kitchen. And that's something that I've really worked to overcome over the last few years. And I have in so many ways, hence the show and the whole Kitchen Hour concept. But I have to say that this whole putting together a whole Thanksgiving meal for the family has got me a little nervous. I've had some practice with roasting a turkey, so I know I can do that part of it. But it's more the pulling all the dishes together at the right timing and all that stuff. It's got me a little bit worried. Plus, I don't have a double oven anymore like I used to. So that's also got me a little worried. I really relied on that double oven for, roasting vegetables on the top or doing rolls or whatever. And so I'm going to have to be a little more creative this year about how I do the timing and more strategic. But I'm actually looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. It's kind of a test for me to see, I cook for my dinner or for my family dinner every night. But it's going to be a nice test to see if I can pull something off for a bigger group. So I'm excited and looking forward to it. And I hope you have a great Thanksgiving if you are in the United States and you celebrate Thanksgiving. Otherwise, you're probably really tired of hearing about Thanksgiving, so I apologize. We can move on now to my interview with Linda Hunt. Again, just as a quick reintroduction, she is the author of Sweetylicious Pies. Her slogan is Eat Pie, Love Life, and she also owns 2 pie shops. I think you're really going to enjoy our discussion. We talk a lot about food and family and traditions. We talk a lot about traditions, and I love her approach and her feelings about that. We talk about Linda's struggles with depression and how starting her business as a pie shop owner, going from being, I think, in government and then making this complete life change into owning a pie shop and how revolutionary that was for her and how much it changed her life and helps her to love her work again. And we talk about being a working mom, and we talk about all the different things that that kind of go with this, living a creative life and doing what you want to do and following your passion and also raising a family and how all those things can go together. It's really inspiring, and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Linda Hunt, who's the owner of the Sweetylicious Bakery Cafe here in Michigan, also the author of a new cookbook and all-around really amazing person I'm excited to talk to today. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Megan, right back at you. Gosh, I'm really flattered.
Well, I have to tell you, so the reason Linda got on my radar is that she opened a shop near Lansing, Michigan, which is where I used to live. And now I live in the southwest corner of Michigan. And I do a lot of work with the Grand Rapids Tourism Bureau, which is about an hour north of me. And then Linda opened a shop in Grand Rapids. And the blog that I write for up there covered your shop. And I love pie, but I have to say the thing that immediately caught my attention were the pictures of you in this apron, this pink cardigan, this dress with an apron. I think you were holding like a jadeite milk or a jadeite pie plate.
Yeah.
With some, and it was like, oh, you just hooked me. So I was so excited. And then when I found out that you had a book coming out, actually your publisher Skirt, I'm kind of connected to them through a friend. So it just felt like kismet.
Oh my gosh. So totally.
But I totally want to talk about that reaction that I had. I think that must be, and I'm sure I haven't tasted your pie yet, but I'm sure it's amazing. But I think that that feeling of nostalgia is really what hooked me first. And have you found that to be true? Like, is that something that really gets people, you know, on board with what you're doing?
Oh, certainly. And it's, you know, it's, I think the best part about what I do is it's who I am. Mm-hmm. And so I've always felt that I basically grew up and am living in the wrong generation because I'm always hooked on anything from the 40s to 60s. I mean, I so connect, and from the music to the clothes, and I always have since I was a little girl. So, people actually have come into my shop and started crying.
Oh my goodness.
With the feeling of nostalgia. And, you know, I've gone and hugged them, and it's all about hugs and love and pie. I mean, I really have the best job, but when I've asked them about it, it, you know, it's really deep, and that's kind of what the cookbook's about and what I think life's about. I mean, wonderful food, especially pie. Pie takes you home, but all of that, brings us back to this world of joy and simpleness and traditions. And when people have walked in my shop, especially the DeWitt one, just because it's small and really enclosed, you know, they hear the Frank Sinatra music, and they smell the molasses cookies and the apple pies, and they see everybody working and flour on our noses, and they see the joy in it. And it reminds people of a time that's kind of lost. And people I know, you know, we were just talking about off air about all of the wonderment and the greatness of technology. And then the other hand, you know, of the complications that it brings to our lives. So, you know, the simpleness of having a slice of pie and being with your family and making the pie and, you know, feeling really proud of yourself at the end, all of that is what I'm all about and what I know people, want more in their lives.
Yeah. That really resonates with me. And I think a lot of women of my generation, and even, in fact, I think more women who are even younger than me, like in their 20s, when I look at what seems important to, like, kind of the generation under my generation, who's kind of coming up as bloggers and social media, which I know is a little bit skewed, it feels like there is this return, this, like, desire to return to that simplicity. We're all trying to figure out how to get there. And maybe the, you know, maybe the aprons and the dresses and the vintage clothes and the music are almost a prop or like a way to get us in that mood.
You know, I think so. Yeah. I really do. I, you know, I truly have people from all over the country and world that come to my shop in DeWitt and now in Grand Rapids, whether they've heard about me from, you know, pie championships and magazines and, you know, television or whatever it is, but they make a point to go there and to feel it and to taste it and be a part of that world. So I clearly know that there's a real longing for that. And, you know, I'm happy to be a part of making that happen and making people happy through that. So any way I can do that, I think, you know, which is why you're doing what you're doing, is we're trying to make people's lives a little better in the way we know how.
Right.
And it kind of works for us. And hopefully that works. I mean, that's why we're here on this earth, right?
To make, right, absolutely.
Make it a better place. So
yeah. And I think that too, it's especially if when you grew up, maybe, and I hear this a lot from women who grew up in the 70s and 80s, which is when I was growing up in the 80s mostly, but that we weren't learning how to do all this stuff. So then we get to adulthood and it's like, okay, I have a family, I have a house, I'm supposed to take care of it, I'm supposed to feed these people, I have no idea what I'm doing. And that's really challenging because we didn't always have role models to look to who were doing it as well. So it's, you know, it's like my mom cooked, but it was sort of like, get out of the kitchen. It wasn't any kind of a joy for her, I don't think. By the time I remember, it was like, it was purely to get something on the table, and it wasn't something that I was involved with at all. And I just think that there wasn't that tradition of passing it down. So that's something I really hope is going to come back or that we're going to bring back.
You know, and Megan, that's what's so exciting about this surge of that and of you doing what you're doing and all of these bloggers doing what they're doing. I teach baking classes. I do it in the winter when we're a little bit slower and I have a little more time. But I have a year and a half waiting list for our DeWitt store for baking classes. And most of the women say exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. They'll say, my grandma, when I go to my grandma's house, you know, she taught me, but my mom really wasn't into it. She was busy. She was working. And there was that, you know, they were also, you know, your parents were a product of the whole women's movement,
right?
You know, where it wasn't cool to be in the kitchen. And I have to say, you know, I think Martha Stewart, say what you will about her in different ways as far as her character, but certainly she brought back homekeeping as a good thing, so to speak. I mean, to paraphrase her,
right?
But truly, she did, and I really always, you know, I had Julia Child. And we had a local person in Lansing called Martha Dixon, actually.
Okay.
And I had my mom and my grandmas, my aunts. And so, but they were, again, from a little bit of a different generation.
Right.
And I am, too, where I was at the very end of the greatest generation and the very end of the baby boomers. So mm-hmm. we really still had, you know, mothers that, cooked and baked in the kitchen. But it was something for me that was really natural and something that I just couldn't get enough of. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough of my mom's cookbooks. And so I love and love, love, love. And when I hear this, you know, at baking class and people are there and they're learning how to bake a pie. And then when I get on the reviews of the pie cookbook and people are showing me pictures of the pies that they made and their first pies and it went well. And that brings joy to my heart. And I know that we're going to be good. I think that this is exciting that other people and all of new generations are wanting to learn how to bake pie and cook and make their homes lovely.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I agree with you about Martha Stewart, like, legitimizing it again.
Yes.
And another thing that I think is kind of cool from the Martha Stewart example and from your example and from all these bloggers like myself and what we're doing is that, you know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, you don't have to be a full-time homemaker to put care and thought into your home. You can run a business and you can be a successful business person and still think about your home in a certain way. It's not just an afterthought or a place that you crash at the end of the day. It's important, you know, and that's something that I think maybe got lost a little bit along the way. It sort of became like either or. And I feel like now we're sort of embracing both. We're seeing that you can have both things. And it is, even if at the end of the day you've put in a full day of work, that hour that you're making dinner or making dessert or making dinner and dessert or whatever can be pleasurable. It's a good part of your day.
Yes. And I think, again, that's, you know, applauding the newer generations of having the choice of saying, yeah, maybe we can't have it all, but we can have pretty close to all, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think, you know, some of the really neat things that they have online and the internet and Pinterest and all those things to inspire people is wonderful, you know, because clearly, you know, no one had that. You had your better homes. You know, I got the family circle, good housekeeping.
Right.
And I was excited. And Country Living, when that came out, I was just ecstatic.
That's my favorite magazine still. But
yeah. I'm still trying to get in that magazine. I had a little blip about my pies once and I was like ecstatic. But
I can't believe that they wouldn't cover your store. It just seems like such a natural. You know what the problem is sometimes with those magazines is they actually have very few Midwestern writers for whatever reason. It's very focused on East Coast and like New England for some reason. That's where like the bulk of their people are. So, I mean,
it's easy go there. I had a champion for me. She was a writer there. Her name was Frances and she was lovely. And she had me take pictures of our farm, of my granary, which is a little playhouse for my girls when they were little, and the shop and all of this. And she's like, and then I went to the Country Living. They have those entrepreneurial things. Mm-hmm. They had one in Chicago all the time. And I went there and she said, oh my gosh, we love you. I met the editor. She's like, we love you. And then they changed editors.
Yeah. And now you're starting all over again.
Yeah. But Midwest Living is going to be doing a piece. Oh, and then Flea Market Decor, it's with Cottage Living.
Okay. Yeah. I liked
it. It's an amazing magazine.
Is Cottage Living now? I thought Cottage Living had folded a while back. Did it come back? Or maybe...
They do quarterly
okay.
magazines. Same with Country Home.
Okay.
So they're kind of doing that. You know, obviously, because some of the magazines are losing a lot of folks. So they're doing it that way. But I'm really excited about that magazine. I wasn't sure, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I get this magazine. It's really glossy. It's just such a classy. That's coming out in the spring. They're going to do a whole feature on the shop. So I'm really excited about that.
So I was going to ask you, when you were talking about Country Living, if you ever have gone to one of their fairs or whatever they call them. Okay. So tell me about it.
Well, wait. Okay. So I used to go, actually we were going to sell the cookbook at the fair that you're talking about, the one that they have in Columbus, Ohio. And then they have one in
Texas.
Yeah.
They have like two a year. Yeah.
And one in New York. And actually I just got an email about a Christmas one that again is in Tarrytown, New York. We were kind of, I didn't think of it, and I talked to my publisher about it, and she said, you know, I don't know, how you'll do with that. And then by the time we kind of had figured it out and thought, oh my gosh, it'd be good. It was a little too late. So we're going to try it next year, but I've always wanted to go just as, you know, Linda Hunt and I haven't been able to do it just because of work, you know. But next year, I think we will be selling our cookbook there, and I'm excited about it. But they used to have a Country Living Women Entrepreneurial Fair, kind of, so to speak. And it was always in Chicago, and it was really neat because it just brought bloggers and, you know, a lot of women from Etsy and just really neat people all together on how to promote their business. And I'm not sure if they still do that, but it was a really neat networking. And in fact, somebody had just written something on my Facebook or something about it, you know, remember me way back then. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's so
sweet. Every time I see the ads about those, it sounds like it's basically like a big flea market kind of with it's like I want to go there.
So definitely there's a really cool flea market, you know, that I really want to go too. That's in Round Top, in Texas. And that's supposed to be really neat. They're doing a lot more with women entrepreneurs and different things at that one as well, I hear.
Cool. So I want to back up a little bit because we jumped right into talking about how much I loved your book cover and your pie plate, but we never actually talked about your business yet. So I know you started in 2002. Can you kind of tell me where you were in your life at that? You have two girls, right? Two daughters?
I do. They're grown. Yeah. I have one a junior in college and one actually just moved out to Omaha.
Okay.
And she is a food scientist. She works for Marie Callender Pies, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh. Conagra. Oh, that's so funny. I did a bunch of work with Conagra last year, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
that's ironic.
It is.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I had, like I had said, I had always known that this was this whole feeling of nostalgia and kind of always feeling that I was born in the wrong era I've always been that way. And I always wanted a farm because my grandparents and aunts all had farms and I always felt at home there. And cooking and baking was just something that I always enjoyed doing and loved doing at the time. And we were talking about kind of a different era back then. I remember asking my mom what she thought about me going to culinary school. This was probably like my senior year of high school. And she said, oh, Linda, you can't do that because you'd work at a restaurant and you'd never be home with your children. And I know you want to do that.
That's
funny. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay. So I'll be a teacher, you know?
Right.
And what's so wonderful about now in what we were just talking about is that how you can create your own life and you can create how it'll work for you and your family. And, which is basically what I ended up doing, and which is what so many women just like you are doing. And I love that. We're not cornered in this little corner of what we're supposed to do. We can create what we're supposed to do. So, but it took me a long time to get there and to understand that. So I had graduated in teaching and my husband's business, had failed and there were no teaching jobs. And all of a sudden I was pregnant with our first daughter I was married, by the way. I don't know if I said that. We're high school sweethearts. It's like almost 30 years coming on.
Goodness. Okay.
But all of that put me into a job that I didn't belong. I ended up in government and worked for our state governor for 15 years. But it paid the bills. It enabled us to get this old rundown farmhouse that we've fixed up actually for how many years? 17 years now. But it also allowed me the farmhouse and kind of the job I didn't like to hone my skills here on the farm. So we had blackberry bushes and raspberry bushes and peach trees and all of this. So I started, making jams and canning and cooking and baking pies and more pies and more pies. And I had depression, still have it, fight it. Some days are way worse than others, but it's just really a foreign thing to me because I am truly born a happy, positive person. So that's one reason I'm hoping Sweetylicious can do really well so we can really do some really neat things for depression and help people because it's pretty awful to live with it. But anyway, as it turned out, 9/11 happened, and I remember telling my husband that I can't do this anymore. I can't do something that isn't real and authentic, and it's slowly killing me. So, when you have children, you also hide that from them because you want to make sure that you're the happy mommy. And so there was a lot of crying in the car on the way to work and on the way back, and they never knew that. They do now, of course, but my home life was what kept me going. I couldn't wait to get home and make dinner and have pie and decorate for the holidays and just make the home a really special place for them to grow up. So after I quit, I thought I either am going to go back into teaching because I enjoyed that and love that, or I'm going to, do what I always wanted to do, which is open a pie shop. So I'd collected old things and put them in my barn for this someday dream of a pie shop. I actually had an old display case that is at the shop that was in the barn that I found on the side of the road, and all sorts of rolling pins, and quit my job and started writing. It was a huge sacrifice, I have to say. I tell the story and it's true. I had my winter coat on and my mittens and, well, my gloves, I should say. And I had an old computer, and I would write my business plan, and I would write my recipes and try them over and over. And finally had enough courage. And that's a thing that, I'm a real spiritual person, and I believe strongly in God. And I used to pray, and I still pray every day and meditate for strength to get through the day and to be everything I'm supposed to be that God wants me to do and wants me to be. And when you have depression, that can be a huge burden and a huge issue to get over. Other days are wonderful. Like, yes, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm pie queen. And other days, I'm not even a pie princess. I don't know why. So regardless, you keep going on and knowing that you have something to give. And when I realized I had gifts and that I was supposed to do this, which came in form of an epiphany for me, truly, then I never have looked back. So I actually started a farm market in DeWitt, and people came to my back porch, and I would sell the pies, and I had a little bucket back there and an old refrigerator. And when that refrigerator broke down, people used to come in my house and grab their pies. And then I got a little bit more strength and a little more courage, and I dropped them off at some high-end restaurants, and they liked them. And then there was a little beauty salon in my little town of DeWitt, and I used to get my hair cut there. And I used to tell my hairstylist, someday this is going to be my pie shop. It's the cutest place in DeWitt, and it's the only place that I would want to have it because it's the cutest. And she called me up and said, I'm moving out of here, Linda, if you really are serious about that. And so I had to do it. So it was a big family affair, and my husband has 12 brothers and sisters, and a lot of them came and helped and paint, and we drywalled, and I took all the stuff out of the barn and we did a little home equity loan. That was the way I was able to do it financially, because they, you know, weren't going to give me a loan. And we started it out, and, you know, how many years? 8 years later, you know, we won 16 first places, the Food Network Pet Challenge. We won a Best in Show. We got Best Merchandising Bakery in the country, all sorts of business awards. And, you know, just, I still can't believe just saying it's getting me teary, but yeah, it's really hard to believe some of the accomplishments that, that we have done. And I can't say enough of we in it, because it's a team at my shop. These, you know, I cook and bake with my dearest friends, and it's a family effort here. My girls both work there through high school and a lot of weekends, and my husband's our little maintenance man. So you know, it's a huge, it's you know, Sweetielicious has always been my third child, you know, she really is.
How old were your kids at the time, your daughters?
They were, Betsy, I think, was in seventh grade, and Ellie was a freshman.
Okay. And, and one thing that I love that I take from that too, is that sometimes I think, you kind of, sometimes you get to a dream kind of gradually, you know, and it's like, you'd been in this job that you didn't really love for a while. You'd been raising kids for a while. All along, you'd be getting all this practice sort of in life. Right. So by the time you got to the point where you were launching your business, it's like you were in a place where you were really, really ready to do it on every level, which I think is really something to remember.
It truly is, and it's so neat. One of the best parts I love about getting older, and I really do love getting older. I mean, you know, sure, the wrinkles kind of suck. Right. I'm going to be frank about that. But on the other hand, you know, when you look at your life, and just, I always talk about connecting the dots, and you just can't do that at 20, 25. You can't even really do it at 30, because you're just starting, although you're starting like your first dots, you know what I mean? And so you really realize, wow, like I would not be able to do what I do now at 30. And really know what I'm doing, and really be an expert, and really feel like I'm seasoned and be able to share my secrets with anyone at all. Because at least what I'm trying to do, because I didn't live through all of it. And I didn't live through all of it to say, oh my gosh, life is good. We can all do this. We all have our struggles. We all have our issues. But at the end of the day, you know, you do create it. And it's so important for women to feel empowered and to know that, whether you're in a dead-end job or whatever it is that you're doing, that you do have gifts. And I never thought I had any. I always thought the really, really intelligent people, or the Barbra Streisands of the world, were the ones with gifts. You know, the person that can make a cute pie, and I should say have a great pie and have a cute house and all of that. You know, that's nothing. Everybody can do that. But no, they can't. No. And we all have something to give, and actually need to give it, not only, you know, for our well-being, but for others. So the wonderful thing about the internet and blogging and all this is being able to share our secrets and share what we know. And all of us, I think, you know, are obliged to do that. And that's kind of where the cookbook came in, because I had so many people saying to me, why are you going to give away your secrets? Blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, but that's, you know, I can't give every little secret away of what we do, of course, but, you know, 3/4 of them, I am giving away, because that's part of my mission. You know, my mission isn't just to have a pie shop, which I absolutely adore and love. And, but the other mission is, you know, is making sure that we're carrying on the traditions and keeping our lives happy and our homes happy and all of those things that, you know, are really near and dear to my heart. And anything that I can share and help someone out, gosh, you know.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, it's funny, because as you're talking about, when you were talking earlier about starting this business from scratch, and I was kind of putting myself in your place and getting really full of anxiety over thinking about if I were to take like a pie I had made and put it out there in the world and, you know, sell it to somebody, I would be a nervous wreck. But that's because, I mean, honestly, you could give me secrets all day, and what I'm going to be able to do with those is going to be so much different than what you've been able to do, because I have my limits. You know, I might be able to turn out one really great pie for my family, but I'm not going to be the person who starts a pie shop. And that's totally fine. Just like you might say, like, you know. Right. For example, I like to perform, you know, like to sing. Like, and people have said to me, I could never sing in front of a crowd. I'm like, well, that's because it's not your thing, but I could never do what you do, you know.
Right.
So it's all have our gifts.
True. We sure do. And, you know, one of the central threads that I think we as women share as mothers and as sisters and as wives is and part of it's so innate is to making everyone around us feel loved and better. I mean, that's really what most of us do. And then to be able to do that in an easier way, in a better way, in a right. way that is even deeper than what we knew or what we were taught or how I think a lot of us always, you know, I always tell my girls, you know, did you have a good day? You know, was it the best day? Maybe not. But tomorrow's going to be better, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it really helps us to not feel so bad about ourselves that, gosh, I made the worst pie crust ever. I'm never doing that again, you know? But instead of thinking of it that way, just in everything we do, like, well, tomorrow's a better day. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, gotten me through my depressed days and my horrible days of blackness is what I call them. But, and it gets, you know, through us, anything that we're going through, whether it's a bad job or a divorce or whatever that, and you know, food is so central to, comfort and nurturing and everything that we grew up with that, or if you didn't, you wanted it. And I think there's nothing like, you know, that hot cup of tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich right. on a cold day. I mean, honestly, it does something to your soul. I actually blogged about comfort food and how much it means to us. And a slice of homemade pie or a slice of, you know, wonderful pie that you purchased somewhere at a cute little pink pie shop.
Right.
Wherever it is really more than just that.
And there's a reason we're not getting our nutrition in a, you know, in a pill. There's a reason for that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, being healthy and all of that is wonderful. And it's certainly something that we need to, you know, put as a priority. But I also think that there's room for comfort and treats and mm-hmm. wonderful things that aren't necessarily the healthiest for us.
Right.
But we don't ever. I always tell people, you know, you don't eat a whole pie,
right.
guys. You know, when we first started the shop, and everyone always laughs, but everyone assumed that we had pie every night and blah blah blah. But I had to sell those pies. You know, we had to make sure that the shop is going to stay around and be afloat. So I used to bring like a cookie that fallen on the floor and bring it home, and we'd cut it in fours. And I'd say, look what mommy brought. And laugh and joke about it. But, you know, we'd all each have this bite of cookie and be really, you know, excited about that. So it doesn't have to be a lot, but I think it's important that we Sunday dinners, I have a whole deal on that on my website as well. And, you know, bringing the family together and having potlucks and making it easy, as you can, but making sure that people have, that kind of togetherness in their lives and have those kind of traditions, because it really is one of the most important things. I think, you know, family, friends, some people don't have a lot of family where they are, their family is somewhere else.
Right.
Then we need to make our own nuclear family or our friends, our family, and make sure we get together in this really busy, crazy world and just slow down and have a great dinner, a great piece of pie.
I totally agree. And I wanted to mention too, you've talked a couple times about posts on your blog, and listeners, I'll put the link to Linda's blog. You have to read it. It's wonderful. I loved your post about rolling pins.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite one too.
And I've always been drawn. I love to go to antique stores, and I've been always drawn to antique kitchen tools, especially rolling pins. And right now I've got this drawer, because I don't really know what I'm going to do with them. I don't have room for them in my kitchen. So right now they're just kind of in this drawer, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. But I do love thinking about where it's been and who's used that rolling pin and trying to imagine it in a kitchen. And I've got the ones, I always like the ones with either the red or the green wood handles.
Yeah, those are my favorites
too. So
we'll have to go antiquing someday, Meg.
Oh my gosh,
it's
I would
like
love
a
that.
Great book.
Yeah,
like, I love an old book, and there's nothing better than the cookbooks.
Yes,
there's so
yes.
many of, and the ones that have, actually I have a blog coming out tomorrow with that, you know, all the wonderful stained cookbooks. You could tell that they were, you know, the family's favorite on the molasses cookies, and all the cookies that came out of that cookbook or pies or pot roasts is warms yes. my heart.
You know, it's, and what you were saying a little bit earlier about pie being and sweets being part of being healthy and not just body healthy. We're living in an age where, like, we sort of almost like fetishize, I want to say, and maybe that's not the right word, but this idea of physical health, but kind of like at the expense of everything else, right? So it's like sweets are kind of demonized in a way, which
sugar is right now. Yeah.
Even, flour. You know, wheat, flour, every like carbs, blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because I read a lot of older books and, you know, basically any book I read up until maybe the 30s or 40s, that's set up till the 30s or 40s, it's an amazing amount of cake and cookies these people eat and bread. But, you know, it was part of a different lifestyle. You know, they were moving around and like living active lives, and they probably weren't eating huge portions. Just because there was a cake or a cookie as part of tea every day doesn't mean it was huge.
No, they didn't. And, you know, actually, the old pies, the old pie tins, and I've quite a collection of some of this, were 8 inches. You know, the farm wives got up at 4 a.m. and they, you know, they made 2, 3, 4 pies. They were smaller, but they had farmhands coming in and they had, you know, slices of pie, and these guys went back, you know, they worked hard. And the least thing we could do was give this guy a piece of pie.
Right.
You know, and I do think, you know, now you go to stores and you see these big, huge 10-inch pies. There's at Sam's, I think it's a 14-inch.
Yeah.
It's silly. First of all, that doesn't even look good on a cute little saucer. Right. I'm sorry. As far as aesthetics, it's going to be flopping over it. And then secondly, you know, from actually a technical standpoint, it's really hard to get. That's why in my cookbook I do 9, 9.5-inch, you know, pies, because it's hard to get the middle of a pie done in the middle when you have such a huge, and it's not necessary.
Right.
Personally, so.
I hadn't even thought of that, but yeah, portion sizes, you know, plate sizes, and I guess everything else has gotten bigger.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And that's, again, where people are, you know, having to take this stuff home, and what happened to just having a meal and having it just be right. You know,
right,
I always try to just think, I don't necessarily eat to be full. I eat to be satisfied and be really excited about what I'm eating, and not, and you don't have to have a lot that way. And then you always have room for dessert.
Exactly. It's funny because I have had a vintage stove that just kind of was in the basement of the house that we bought. And I, for a while, was thinking, it looked like it was maybe 40s, white enamel. Oh my gosh, I just fell in love with it. And
oh my
I was thinking,
I'm in love just talking about it.
And I was saying, oh, you know, we should restore it, and we could, you know, you can buy the guts and restore it and bring it back and use it. And then I opened it and I thought, I don't know where I would get cookware that would fit in this stove, because, you know, it's like divided up into four, the oven is divided up into like four small ovens, but they're tiny compared to what, like, a cookie sheet would not fit in this oven. And
I have an issue with some, cause I have an old, I had a 40 stove one of the problems is once they go, like, I had 4 different people come try to fix it, and you can't fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
But one of them was like that. You know, they just put little cute loaves of bread in there, and a little pie. It wasn't this big, huge.
Right.
I have a huge casserole dish that I do for Sunday dinners, and
right.
I had everything ready, and then I couldn't put it in for the same reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
It doesn't
so there
fit.
Is some issues, but you got to keep that in your basement. For Christmas, I always have a double, you know, I have 2 stoves, and then, that's where I used to bake my pies, actually. And then, and also at a church, I was able to rent that out. But keep that. Don't ever give that away, Megan. It's too cute.
Well, and then, you know, I could always use it for storage or something.
Yeah,
some kind of cute.
Yeah.
If my house suddenly doubled in size.
Photo ops. I'll come do some pies on it.
Exactly. Oh, that's too funny. Well, I want to talk a little bit about pie crust, because I have to tell you that I will do a cobbler and I will do a crisp and I will do a crumble all day. But there is something about pie crust, and it might just be that I don't have a lot of experience with it, but it's mystifying to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you can give me some encouragement or tips. Maybe the encouragement is just, who cares if it fails? Maybe that's
there's a couple different ways. You know, each of my pies have a story. So in the cookbook, it's really, you know, evident. There'll be a story, and they have a little mantra about how to live their life better. And, our life's better in just a little way. Like, you know, my Aunt Margie was the sweetest, cutest. Everything was pink. I have a lot of her things here in my house. And she just exuded love. You know, that was her gift. And it's a very simple thing, and she just did that. And that's really what the mantra is to the banana cream pie. But one of them was a coconut cream pie, and it was my husband's favorite. And I was 20 or so. I was in college, and I decided we were going to have a picnic, and I was going to make everything. And I had fried chicken and potato salad. I made everything. Everything was great. And then coconut cream pie. And my mom and always made pies, and so I thought I could do this. And she came home. She was a high school English teacher, and she came home to me in tears, you know, at the kitchen counter. Mom, I can't do this. And she showed me the ropes and patiently basically did it for me. But not only did that help me in my confidence, like, gosh, she can do it, but it also, you know, reminded me, and I tried again, and I tried again, and I tried again. And one of my biggest, I think, you know, it's such an important part of our lives is to practice everything that we want to be good at. You know, whatever it is that we're doing, if we don't practice it, it's just going to be mediocre. Unless, you know, you have this amazing voice that's natural to you. But some things we can master it if we just have a little more practice. So that's really the secret to pie crust. Although in my cookbook, I put there's several different crusts. There's some graham cracker and coconut and all that. But the two main flaky pie crusts is a classic, and then there's a cream cheese. And I made them, I worked and worked and worked and worked on them, so they would be easier, and certainly easy that you wouldn't feel like you failed, because crust is daunting, and it's always the part that kills people on a pie, and it smashes it. Their any confidence they had right at the beginning, and then nobody wants. I had a 75-year-old woman at a baking class once, and she said her husband. They had first been married. They'd been married for 50 years, and her pie crust basically was hard and awful. But she finished the pie, and they sat down, and she was so excited. And her husband basically said, it wasn't very good to her. She's telling this, was like crying, and she goes, and I never made another one for him ever. And I was like, oh, you poor thing. And I felt bad because her, you know, husband should have just ate it and said it was the best pie in the whole wide world. And she would have had the confidence. So the bottom line is if we don't practice, or if we give up on anything, then we're not gonna succeed. But at the same time, there's crust out there that you know, I've gone through, you know, I have all this library of vintage cookbooks, and that's where I based all of my, I didn't look at one cookbook today, not that they're not good, but, you know, these women knew how to, you know, Better Homes, especially my favorites from the 50s, it's got red and white plaid on it. Yeah, it's my all-time favorite. And then I just kept making them better. They never had enough fruit in them, and sometimes the thickener wasn't exactly right for that pie. And then I based them on my mom's and my grandma's, my aunt's, and I kept tweaking them, and the same with the crust. You know, I wanted to make it easier for people so they would like, oh my gosh, I've made this, I can do this. And the other thing I always tell people, which is really important, is that I want you to make more than one. Why don't you do this and you freeze them? And so you're also taking, you know, kind of a large task out of the bigger task. So you're cutting in half. So you're making the crust one Sunday afternoon or Saturday baking day. And then the next Sunday you're making the filling and you've got the pie. So it's not as daunting and it doesn't take as much time. And I mean, at the shop, you know, I get there at 4 a.m. and the crusts are all made and they're all in the freezer, and I start looking at orders, and we start making rhubarb custard and banana cream and, you know, apple and caramel apple and pecan and all my favorites. I'm getting hungry. Truly, I never get tired of eating pie, but anyway, and that makes it easier. So if I had to make the crust, you know, like I used to, and then the filling, and then you feel like you need this big chunk of time, and it's all about making it easier for people. I mean, that's why we're here, and why why I wrote a cookbook, and why I'm on your show. We want to make life better. So that's one way is to.
Well, and I like what you said about practice, and it really ties into something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, is how we want everything to be so fast, and sometimes fast is great. You know, I use pre-made foods in my kitchen, and I have stuff that's easy and quick when I need something to be easy and quick. But it's almost like we've gotten to the point where anything that's going to take longer than a half an hour, we wonder what's the point. Like, why would I do that? And especially everything becomes about like in our heads, it's almost like the cost benefit analysis. So I got really into canning a couple of years ago. And for like one whole summer, my sister-in-law would come over every weekend and we were both in a CSA. So we had an enormous amount of produce and berries and fruit that we were trying to keep up with. And canning was one way for us to do that. And I mean, we would spend the entire, she'd come over at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we would be up till midnight every Friday for like 6 weeks canning. And it got to the end, I was like, wow, okay, that was a lot of time. And could I have gone and bought all of the same stuff that I canned? Probably a lot cheaper when you consider the canning jars and everything.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm still, but there's still something valuable about just taking the time to do something. And it's really hard to put it into words. Like, why is that valuable? But it was really valuable to me. I was really glad that we did it. And we've done it on a more scaled back version since
then. I blogged about canning for that exact same reason, Megan, because I love still doing my pickles and I used to do the peaches and I still do jams and pickles every year. And it's something so classic and something that our foremothers did in necessity that we can do kind of on a whim as something fun or something, whatever our reasons are now. And clearly there's some people that I'm sure do it for economic reasons, which is wonderful too. But there's something about it. And I think it's the slowness. I think it's the process. I think it's of being in your kitchen all day and appreciating, from the bounty, from washing the jars and the lovely sterilized jars to the sounding of the pops of the cans. And all of it is really romantic, I think. And I totally agree. I mean, it's not something that I would want to do in 100 degree day and hot wood stove and our grandmothers and great grandmothers had done. But certainly there's something about it. And it's the same thing about cooking and baking. When it's snowing outside and I'm baking at 5 a.m. and I'm in my little town and I look outside and I eat warm molasses cookies out of the oven. That's my breakfast. I do only eat one. And then when it gets cold, I don't eat the end. so funny because I'm so spoiled. But and then you're with your friends and you're cooking and you're talking about life and family and God. And it truly is. It's a beautiful thing. And I think when more people kind of get into it and look at it that way, it doesn't have to be that every day after a 10-hour day of work. And you're tired, and just like you spoke of, it's not a daily thing. But when you can fit that in on a Sunday, especially in the fall right now, make a big thing of apple butter. They have so many neat things now that you can do in the crock pot and all sorts of cool things.
There's ways to ease into it. I mean, you don't have to have after the first couple marathon canning sessions, I thought, I really could have started with like 3 jars in like one of those little I have like a little kit for a small canning that you just put it right into a soup pot and it's like a little green thing that holds like I think 3 or 4 jars. I was like, gosh, I really just could have started on that level. That would have been fine. I mean, it was fine that we didn't. We made a lot of mistakes and there was so much chaos because there was so much going on, like the first couple of times we did it, it was so chaotic. And then we finally got our rhythm down and it was great. But, there's ways to ease into the idea of baking more desserts or the idea of starting to have more home-baked meals. There's just like you can kind of, it doesn't have to be like you go from never doing it at all to turning out this huge perfect meal.
Exactly. And having this, I think that's a beautiful thing if you have family and friends around. We do the every other Sunday dinner with my extended family and I usually bring a pie, of course, or if I host it here, I have, pork roast and my sister brings a salad and it's no big deal. We usually get out our, my good china, but I don't have to if it's in the summer, it's a picnic. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be this picture perfect Martha Stewart cover of a magazine that, you know, had 25 people working on the art direction for that.
Exactly.
You know, it's really more about the essence of a meal. And even if it's not that great a meal, I always tell people too, you know, if you're not like really a creative cook, or if cooking or baking isn't your thing, just master that one really good dinner, you know? And even if you have that monthly,
make it over and over again.
That's not too much. Right. You know, you make a fabulous lasagna and this wonderful apple crisp or whatever. Good for you. And you just make that every once a month and everyone will be happy. And then gradually, maybe you can get two meals in your repertoire. And the cookbook is really good about that because they have some really simple things. I have one, you know, on how to impress the ladies or how to get a man. Some of these kind of cute little ones that are easier. And, you know, the sticky toffee pudding caramel apple pie just was voted by Food & Wine magazine as one of the best apple pies in the country. It's online. It's really, really exciting for me. But when I was making that pie, that won the 100-year anniversary innovation award for the Crisco National Pie Championships. Wow. That was the best in show. So it's really has a lot of little accolades on that pie. But when I was making it, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like not my favorite pie. It's a lot of layers. It's really complicated. And then it won everything. And I'm like, oh my God. So when people look at that in the cookbook, you know, but I always, you know, they're like, gosh, who's going to make that, you know, 2-page. But then when I always tell people, and I do television in Grand Rapids too, I do a monthly show, and I tell people, you know, if there's ways to make shortcuts in it, if you don't want to make your homemade caramel, I get that, you know.
Right.
Just buy a really, really good one. And if you don't want to do praline pecans, just buy pecans and toast them or whatever it is that you can do at a recipe in ways. Some things are hard to duplicate, and a homemade crust is one of those things.
Right.
So, but that's why I have graham cracker crusts and some different crusts in there, a cream cheese crust that make it easier. And again, if you practice it, even if you do one a month and you become, you know, the pie queen of your neighborhood.
Right.
Wow. How exciting. That would just make my day.
Oh, I love that. And I like, you know, that's kind of how I've gone from being someone who really didn't cook at all, like early in my marriage. I wanted to so badly. I just had no idea what I was doing, and I was so intimidated by it. And I finally just decided I was going to master like one thing. And I can't even remember what it – maybe it was like chicken soup or something. I don't remember. Something really easy.
Yeah.
And then once I knew that I could do that, it was like, oh, maybe I can cook. You know, it was like maybe this isn't this mystical thing that I can't do. And then it builds – not only then you want to spend more time – working on it too. So because I had the confidence, I enjoyed it, which meant I wanted to spend more time in the kitchen, which meant I got better at everything. So it's like it really builds on itself.
Confidence is huge. I always, you know, if we can all believe in each other, I can't, you know, I have a teacher and I blog about him, and he has his own pie in my cookbook, but he really believed in my writing ability. You know, I never thought I was that great. And he was like, Linda, you really are, you know, and he really inspired me to be a better writer. And it's always that one person, you know, whether it's your friend or your sister or your mom, to say, this is a really good crust, Linda, or this is a really good pot roast, Megan, or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, it is.
Right,
I can do this. And I think if we remember, sometimes we think in our head compliments, and it's really fun to be able to share that to strangers at my shop. You know, it's really like, gosh, you have the prettiest blue eyes, you know, and they're really, or, oh my gosh, I love your coat. And it's especially, you know, fun to do that to people that you know, I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know if they just lost someone close to them. Mm-hmm. They just lost a job. And I have little miracles like that at my shop every day. I could I'm working on a television show actually about that, about little things we can do that can make someone, you know, I don't know what their life is. All I know is they came in for a slice of pie or a bowl of soup, and for us to be able to share love with that person and hug them or smile at them. And some of the responses we've gotten back has just been astounding of how that made someone's day. And the same with all of us, all of your listeners right now, of we can bake a pie, or we can bake a thing of banana bread, or a big bowl of wonderful pot of chicken soup, and give that to somebody, or smile at someone in the grocery line, or some simple really things that really go a long way. And homemade food is one of them. And a pie just puts you over an edge. I remember when I was here and we moved in and a good friend of mine brought a pie over and I was like, are you kidding me? Like a pie, wow, a homemade pie to somebody really, I mean, that screams, I love you. Like nothing else.
Right. Yeah, that's one. That's very lovely. So I have two more questions for you before we have to unfortunately wrap up because this has been so fun. First of all, tell me really quickly about the Food Network. So I know that you won a challenge there in 2009, but I'm not exactly sure of what the
Gosh, you know, it's so deep. How to say this in a small, little, short way?
Well, it's okay. Don't limit yourself. Just talk.
Oh, okay. I'll try to just do it in 3 minutes.
Okay, that's totally fine.
When I was talking about, you know, family supporting you and people believing in you, my brother-in-law, my husband's oldest brother, had moved to a farm here. He was a state trooper for years and years, and his wife was such a wonderful help to me, and she would help roll pie crusts with me, and they really believed in my pie baking skills. And way before I'd quit my job and I, you know, was making pies all the time, and I would bring a pie to him and he would absolutely go crazy over it. And then he always went to that extra mile. And I love this about a man. He would write me a thank you note or he would call me. And he did that after they moved here too. But prior to that, he would call me, Selena, that was the best pie ever. And I remember hanging up like, gosh, you know, he called me at work to tell me that, how lovely. And so he was a real believer in people in general, and he certainly believed in me. And, he helped, you know, when I was talking about everyone, all hands on deck, as far as the pie shop, he came and helped paint and drywall and, just a lovely man. And he ended up getting brain cancer. And, I wrote him a pie story and I thought of this pie, that I was going to take down to the National Pie Championships. And he died the week before I went. And it was very hard to go down there and, and think about pie and competing after, you know, such a beloved person in your life passes. And but I did and I had to do it. And so they had interviewed me to be on camera, but they kept asking me, like, how badly do you want to beat so and so in the cherry division? And I kept saying, I don't know who that is. I don't know. I really don't care to beat anyone, right, but I do want to win. So therefore, you know, one definitely has to, other people have to lose. And, but that's not why I'm going. I want to have one of the best pies, you know, in the nation. That's why I'm going. So, I thought about this pie, created it in my head and wrote Tom the story. I was able to read him the story before he passed and then went down, had never really made it, and then made it on camera for Food Network. But I was a real, I mean, I was definitely the black horse. I mean, they didn't think that I was going to win. They had, and so they had filmed the other people. And then the announcements came. And the other part of the story that's so important is when I was having one of my black days of depression and before I'd quit my job to decide to do this. And I remember I was home alone and I was in my bed watching the Food Network, watching this amazing pie challenge. And I remember truly being curled up and crying and wishing I was good enough and smart enough and had enough courage to be in that.
Wow.
So when they announced that we had won first place, I was over the moon. And then I was up on the stage and out of all the 10 pies, then they pick a best in show. And then when they said Tom's pie, I have it on my, you know, video. It's on my website. Okay. I get teary because of, you know, two amazing things. First of all, that from a personal standpoint, that I was able to do this in a professional standpoint, for me, that I was good enough and I had gifts and I was smart enough to be able to make a pie that won the best in show. And then, more importantly, I was crying for Tom and crying really of joy for him that his little story, and it went, you know, it went viral as far as there were his story about, believing in people and believing in me was in all sorts of magazines and all sorts of really cool baking blogs, across the country because, because of what he did for me. So it was this amazing part of my career that will never be duplicated. I could win the best in the world pie and I would be super excited and it would be wonderful, but there's nothing that can compare to that for those two reasons. You know, it was all about believing in myself and other people believing in me. And it really is, again, one of the big secrets to life, I think.
What a great story. I will share the link to your video page as well in the show notes. So for people who are listening, just go to the blog and you can just go right to that. I'll just share that clip.
That crying specifically.
Well, now I can't wait to watch it. I didn't realize it was on your site. So now I'm going to totally go look it up when we're done here. Okay. So I have one last question for you. And one thing when I visited your store briefly in Grand Rapids, and that's, so for the listeners, it's inside this awesome new facility that's this indoor market where they have like a fishmonger and a spice shop and an ice cream place and meat market and wine and cheese and wine. Yeah, that was what grabbed my money that day, unfortunately. But by the time I got to the pie, it was like I'd blown all of my money on cheese and wine. But the first thing that caught my eye was this little tiny pink Easy Bake Oven. I think that's what it was. What that is, like a little pink Easy Bake Oven?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I have a turquoise Easy Bake.
Okay.
And then I have another little pink oven, both of which the Easy Bake is a duplicate of mine. Mine was lost in fire, but then the pink oven was mine. My mom had gotten from at a garage sale for Laura and I.
Okay.
There was a pink refrigerator, and then the Easy Bake was what I first started baking in.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that there was turquoise and pink and I just couldn't remember. So I remembered seeing someplace on your site that you talked about having an Easy Bake Oven when you were a little kid and how that, so do you have one of those like at both stores? Is that kind of iconic for you?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I have one, I have three now and they were really hard to find. So people have been wonderful. You know, it's super cute. You're talking about the vintage aprons, that particular one a customer had given me. My sister-in-law makes them for me when I do shows or championships or whatever. We use a vintage one and then she kind of embellishes it. But same with Easy Bake, same with ovens. I have one at the store that someone gave me. They were cleaning out their mom's house and it plugs in. It has a little light on. It's a 1940s stove. And the Easy Bake came as well. You know, I was heartbroken when it was lost and my husband got one for me for Christmas a couple of years ago. And that's about the blog about that. But when growing up with that, you know, it was a light bulb and there was a smell that brought when you had the Easy Bake plugged in. And all of a sudden my three brothers, I always talk about it. They were older. Laura and I were the little twin sisters, you know, that you really didn't have much to do with. We didn't play Hot Wheels or
anything
like that. And all of a sudden when the Easy Bake was plugged in, they came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden they liked me and sister. It was really, really kind of cute. And I really kind of connected, you know, love and graciousness with cookies and pie and baking and that whole world of, you know, there's nothing like it. I remember my first farm market and I do it every day when people come into to either shop, but you know, it's like I'm the hostess with the mostest. I mean, it's like people coming for dinner and like have a slice of pie and everybody's so happy. They're happy when they, just like how you felt, you know, in Grand Rapids and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. It's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing to be able to create for people. It really makes me feel, I don't know, so worthy and so purposeful just in that way and alone, just to make people feel good when they walk into the shop or hopefully when they open up the cookbook and you know.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, so your book, your cookbook is available now. It's been out for a while, right? Or how long?
It just came out.
It just came out
beginning of October. It's brand smackin' new.
Okay.
It's been getting really good reviews. So if you read it and like it, then that's supposed to really help me.
That will help. Yes.
Says. So that's wonderful if you feel that in your heart.
And if you order it through the website, there are They're signed. So if you go to Linda's website and purchase it there,
yes,
then you'll get your copy will be signed. And it's an adorable book.
I will sign them. Mm-hmm. You can also get it on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble across the country. It's kind of everywhere. So it's exciting. It really is. That's another dream come true. I can't share that with people enough, that your dreams really can come true, because I'm a walking woman.
Walking proof, that, yes.
That they really can, and it is a career wise, but it's so much more than a career. And if you can find something that's not only authentic to you and makes people happy and has purpose, and gosh, it's the best job ever. So I really encourage people to be doing that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Linda. Everybody, the book is called Sweetielicious Pies, and it's by Linda Hunt with a D. And I will leave you with Linda's sort of catchphrase, which is eat pie, love life. I love it.
thank you so much, Megan. You're darling.
Great. Thanks so much for letting me spend time with you this week in your kitchen for this episode of the Kitchen Hour podcast. If you want to find out more about Linda Hunt, you can visit her website. It's www.sweetielicious.com, and there's a dash in there, so it's sweetie-licious.com. And her name is spelled Linda Hunt with a D, H-U-N-D-T, so you could also Google her and find her that way. If you want to get the show notes, we have a lot more detail about our conversation and some links to things we talked about there. You can go to thekitchenhour.com/episode13. And if you want more kitchen content, go to thehappiesthome.com and just click the button at the top that says kitchen. You'll find menu planning resources and ideas on keeping your grocery budget down, recipes, and all kinds of great kitchen content there. If you're enjoying the Kitchen Hour podcast, I would love it if you would subscribe in iTunes and maybe consider leaving me a review or a rating. That really helps me out. And if you subscribe, then you get access to the podcast before you would if you just, you know, look it up in the iTunes catalog. It takes a little bit longer to show up if you're not actually subscribed, but if you subscribe, you get it right away. Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks again so much for listening. I would love to hear your thoughts on guests you'd like to hear or other things that you might want me to cover on the show in the future. So if you have any feedback, you can leave it on the show notes. Again, that's thekitchenhour.com/episode13, or you can drop me an email and just send it to Megan, M-E-A-G-A-N, @thekitchenhour.com. Thanks again, and be sure to check back next Wednesday for another episode of the Kitchen Hour podcast.